Between the fumes from car exhaust, industrial emissions, and, as many of us have experienced recently, smoke from forest fires, the air we breathe is often filled with harmful pollutants. But did you know that the EPA has shown that indoor air can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air? This is why at my clinic and at my home, I use Air Doctor air filters. These filters are 100 times more effective than ordinary purifiers and help capture smoke, viruses, bacteria, pollen, mold, and dust mites. In fact, they capture 100% of some of the most dangerous ultrafine particles as small as 0.003 microns in size. And that's pretty small. They have a proprietary dual-action carbon gas trap VOC filter, which combines two types of media, activated carbon to remove gas and odors, and potassium permanganate to deactivate certain volatile organic compounds, VOCs, like formaldehyde. Air Doctor's auto mode uses a professional-grade air quality sensor to assess the air in the room and immediately adjust to correct levels of air filtration. The sensor will also alert you when your air quality is compromised by changing its indicator lights from green to yellow or red. I discovered this feature almost immediately after installing my Air Doctor at home when the indicator light went from green to red. It got me wondering why the air was so bad, and I did some digging. It turned out there was a problem with my furnace. After it was fixed, the Air Doctor sensor immediately turned back to green. Had I not discovered the issue with the help of the Air Doctor, we could have ended up with much greater problems. I often recommend the Air Doctor to my patients dealing with mold toxicity. Of course, I always recommend they remove themselves from the mold exposure as soon as possible, but I understand it takes time to remediate the home. So in the meantime, as well as on an ongoing basis, I recommend they get Air Doctors running in their homes. One of these machines would be a great Christmas gift for a loved one. Stop by the Integrative Health and Hormone Clinic if you'd like to see different sizes, or visit the bonus tab of my website, yourlongevityblueprint.com, to find a special link for $280 off the $83,000 using code GRAY15. That's capital G-R-A-Y 15. And watch for even greater promotions during Black Friday and Cyber Monday. But you must use my link, which we'll post in the show notes.
Mouth breathing, you're not getting any of that. And things are coming in unchecked. And when stuff comes in unchecked, inflammation.
Welcome to the Your Longevity Blueprint Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Stephanie Gray. My number one goal with the show is to help you discover your personalized plan to build your dream health and live a longer, happier, truly healthier life. You're about to hear again from Paula Anderson, who's been my son's myofascial therapist this past year. This journey was so fascinating to me, I thought I'd bring her on to share what she does, as I don't think many people truly know what myofascial therapy is. This is part two of a two-part series. I'd first encourage you to go back and listen to part one. In this series, she'll speak on the benefits of nasal breathing, the importance of quality sleep, and how good oral posture plays a role in maintaining your airway during the day and night. This can help prevent illness and improve your sleep and prevent pain. Let's get started. So let's go there. We kind of already talked a little bit about this, but I really want to expand on why nasal breathing is so important, right? You want to breathe through your nose and kind of what the consequences of mouth breathing can be. Right. So can we go back and emphasize that a little bit?
We start by saying your nose, everything has a function, right? Everything has a purpose. Like your nose is no different. It contains all the things you need to be your body's filter, your first line of defense against everything you're going to breathe in from the outside world. It has hair, mucus, it has nitric oxide gas, which again is only produced in the maxillary sinuses. So if you skip breathing air in through that filtration system, you're missing all those benefits of nitric oxide, you know, basal dilating, naturally antiviral, antifungal, antibacterial. So you're cleaning that air, you're warming and humidifying it before it's brought into the body to use. So mouth breathing, you're not getting any of that. And things are coming in unchecked. And when stuff comes in unchecked, inflammation happens. You know, somewhere, something else is going to pay the price for that, you know, those allergens, those viruses that is coming into the body. I tell people it can swollen tonsils in kids, swollen tonsils, swollen adenoids, recurrent respiratory infections. I mean, generations before generation, hundreds of people know, like, closing your mouth keeps you getting sick. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all of those things that come in are more likely to create problems, recurrent respiratory infections. There are even, like, I mean, long-term mouth breathing too, gut health issues. It is the top of your GI system. If things are unhealthy and inflamed, and then it just continues down that path too. So yeah, it's important to breathe through our nose.
As part of my quest in, again, convincing my husband that this procedure was necessary for our four-year-old, this elective procedure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I went to Cleveland Clinic's website and just kind of Googled, like, mouth breathing. I mean, just, you know, I'm just doing little searches to see, like, where can I get some information to send to my husband? And so this was more in relationship to adults, not children, but it's the same thing. So even Cleveland Clinic says some examples, right, of how mouth breathing can affect children and adults include dry mouth, which makes total sense, right? If you're breathing through your mouth, especially at night, your whole mouth can dry out. Going to dry out your saliva, bad breath for sure. Drooling on your pillow, which maybe you don't care about. Nasty bacteria, yeah. Malocclusion, mouth face breathing. So if you Google that, you don't want your children's, you know, how do you facial back, development?
Right? Yeah. And you start to, like, see the skin start and the narrow jaws.
The Napoleon Dynamite look, like, yes, that sort of face.
Right.
Right. You don't want your child eventually to look like that, that sort of mouth, have that mouth breathing face. And even, I was surprised, but it makes sense that mouth breathing can lead to hypoxia, which can, like, lead to behavioral problems. So even ADHD, if you're a parent struggling with a child, you might think, are they getting oxygen to their brain at night or not? Yeah. And stated another way, again, this is my specialty, but I read the book Breath by James Nestor. I don't know if you've read that. I read it years ago on the beach, and I was like, kept telling Eric, oh my gosh, this is so good. You have to read this.
It's so good. Yeah.
He talked about a lot.
That one too. People should read that.
Yes, I will. I got to write that down. I will put a link there. But he talks about lots of things in the book, only one of which is the importance of nasal breathing. So he talks about when mouth breathing, your cortisol can spike, which, again, I didn't kind of put two and two together until I had heard him say that. Your heart rate variability can plummet, your blood pressure can rise. And then, just like you said, the air is left unfiltered, which can lead to sinus infections, snoring, fatigue, irritation, anxiety, all kinds of things.
Yes.
Which I think the layperson, again, just wouldn't necessarily link at all.
Absolutely.
To their child hanging, you know, their mouth open.
Yeah. So, and all that stuff, you know, we talked about, it's the mouth breathing and the lack of oxygenation. But then when they go to sleep at night, they're supposed to be, you know, hitting all these phases of sleep have a job to do.
Yes.
And if they're fighting to stay oxygenated all night, they're not getting all the benefits of the REM sleep. They might not be getting enough REM sleep. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not getting the benefits of deep sleep, which is one of those things. Bedwetting, ADHD,
yes,
all those signs are big red flags that your kiddo's not getting all those phases of sleep and oxygenating properly in all those phases of sleep.
Yep. Good points. I think this is also why kind of the rise to mouth taping has become so unpopular, so popular.
Yes.
To help adults to kind of learn to breathe through their nose. Are you a fan of mouth taping? Is that, I've never really talked to you about this, so I'm putting you on the spot. Yeah. But
No, I love this. I always tell patients, like, I love a good biohack just as much as the next person. Like, I love something that's like, this is going to make me feel better. Then yes, you know, let's do it. The deal of it is not safe for everyone. You know, not everyone out there knows the
should be doing that. Yeah.
It's open. And if you don't know, you know, your mouth breathing, sometimes that's your body's rescue way of breathing. And if you cut off your body's rescue way of breathing and something is obstructive, so, you know, your nasal passages are not open, and that can be inflammation, or it could be structural. If you have a heart deviated septum, if you've got, you know, giant turbinates, if there's an obstruction, or back to, if you are severely tongue tied, if your mouth is super small, if that airway space is obstructed and now you've cut off your emergency way of breathing, then that person, now you've created a worse situation when it comes to sleep and oxygenation. And, you know, your mouth is meant to be your rescue breathing. So for the patient who has an open airway and it's a habit and you taped them shut, then all of a sudden they feel fantastic. I mean, fantastic, because it does. They feel oxygenated. They feel rested. They feel great. And they tell everybody that. And that's wonderful, but it is not safe for everybody, given if there's, yeah,
So should they be evaluated first to make sure there is no obstruction? Is that kind of what you're suggesting before you just go taping your mouth shut? Okay. But generally speaking, the concept,
yeah, absolutely. I would tell everybody, like, yes, I love something that makes you feel better just as much as anybody, but let's make sure your airway is open first before you try it.
Sure. How else could adults learn to breathe through their noses other than that hack? Or is that where, again, even adults could work with you?
Okay. The awareness part of it. And then both, honestly, everybody could benefit from some form of nasal hygiene right out of the gate. One of the things we talked about early on in therapy was some form of nasal rinsing. Yeah. And patients usually save that for allergy season or if they don't feel well. But in essence, you should be cleaning your filter. You clean your filter in your car, you clean your filter in your house. Like,
that's a good one.
Brush your teeth to prevent cavities. Like, you should clean your nose to keep you healthy and aid in opening your airway space. So that literally can be, you can look like just your basic nasal saline rinse. It can be a neti pot for those patients that, you know, have more allergies. There's all kinds of products out there, but everybody could benefit from some kind of routine nasal hygiene.
I like the saline ones, but also what's the xylitol? The xylitol one is X-Clear. Yep.
Yeah.
That's a good one too.
It is.
I was going to ask next, what is sleep disordered breathing? But you keep alluding to it, but would you say snoring is sleep disordered breathing? Like,
mm-hmm. Yes. So everybody always thinks that that's what, kind of that blanket statement, because sleep apnea obviously is the biggie, right? That's the one everybody really truly understands, that there's a whole slew of whole body health consequences that come with a fully obstructive airway. But there are multiple kinds of sleep disordered breathing that are still not functional and still not optimal for health that happen before that airway completely closes or collapses. To get an apnea diagnosis, that airway has to close or collapse for longer than 10 seconds, more than 5 times an hour. So that's,
you have to be pretty bad. Yeah.
That's pretty bad before you actually get an apnea diagnosis. And even there's mild, moderate, or severe, depending on how, are we talking just 5 times an hour? Are we talking 95 times an hour? So there's still severities within that. But before that airway even closes, there's snoring. Snoring is the sound of your airway closing. And, you know, patients think that it's normal because everybody has it, and or it's common. And so if everybody has it, then it's got to be okay, right? Because everybody snores. So many people snore. And in essence, that is, you know, the sound of that airway starting to close. So that's your first clue that there's not optimal oxygenation or sleep happening. There's even a form of sleep disorder breathing called upper airway resistance. That oftentimes, that was my story. So your upper airway, so whether, you know, back of the tongue, can start to close or collapse, but your body will compensate and do what it needs to do to help keep your airway open. So you may clench or grind your teeth, you'll wake yourself up, you toss and turn. So what it does is your body's protecting you from actually getting apnea, but it's not letting you get into deeper phases of sleep, because your body ultimately knows if you went into REM or deep sleep, your airway would close. So oftentimes you'll see people feel like they know they don't sleep good, right? You're in bed 8 hours or more, you wake up exhausted, there's still brain fog. I was always the queen of energy drinks. Like, I loved one just as much as the next. I had coffee all day long. And if you asked me, I'd be like, yeah, I sleep great. You tell me to fall asleep now, I'll show you how good I can take a nap. But didn't really, it wasn't sleep apnea, right? There really even wasn't any snoring. But when I finally did have a sleep study, what it showed was a ton of sleep disturbances and little to no REM sleep. So that would be considered more of an upper airway resistance diagnosis, because you aren't getting any REM sleep, you're not getting any deep sleep. You still feel awful, but you're not sleeping or breathing properly. So that's just something that is still considered sleep disordered breathing, but isn't associated with, like, it's not full on sleep apnea.
I don't know about you, but one of the things that's most important to me as I age is staying energized and mentally sharp. One of the essential nutrients for promoting these outcomes is CoQ10, a potent antioxidant found in every cell in your body. CoQ10 plays a critical role in neurological protection, energy production, cardiovascular health, and blood sugar balance, and is one of the most powerful known fat-soluble antioxidants, protecting cells, organs, and tissues from damage caused by oxidative stress and free radicals. The only problem? Well, we begin to lose CoQ10 as we age and by taking certain medications. Fortunately, there's a supplement we can take to top up our levels. Our CoQ10 is delivered in an oil-based proprietary form and includes natural vitamin E for enhanced absorption and maximum stability. I recommend anybody over the age of 35 or those taking a medication that depletes it, like statin medications, for instance, take CoQ10 to help support healthy and balanced cellular function. I have found in my clinical experience it's very helpful for energy, headaches, and even lowering blood pressure. Use code CoQ10, that's COQ10, for 10% off at yourlongevityblueprint.com. Let's get back to the show. You got me really thinking here. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to put an aura ring on William to, you know, like, it would have been nice to see the before and after, like, sleep cycles. But what you have me thinking on now is, for my patients who come in who literally tell me they're already tracking their sleep and they say, I'm not getting good REM sleep, right? And my initial thought is, let's optimize their hormones and give them, you know, supplements to help sleep.
And
whatnot.
This is where you and I talk, like, there's more ways to there's more reasons why it happens. And that's why we should, you know, collaborate and work together on patients, because there is that functional reason as well.
Well, now I'm going to be looking for things like ties and just assessing as I'm talking to them that, what do you call it? Resting oral posture, or they're just other things that I'm more aware of now, right? That then could be addressed. Mm-hmm. To help, you know, improve their sleep, essentially their oxygenation, improve their REM, deep sleep, whatnot. Right. So let me go back though again to how myofunctional therapy can help with that. So those adults, like, I keep coming back to ties, and I know I'm kind of, because that's kind of our story, what led us, you know, your direction, and come to find out, you know, Eric's grandpa. So William's grandpa was saying that his dad, so William's great grandpa, Eric's grandpa, had a tie that was never released, right? And I mean, he is far gone. I think he would have been 110 or something by this point if he was still alive. But it's just interesting to kind of hear that and to hear, you know, generationally, I think some things just didn't used to be addressed. And obviously, he still grew to a healthy, you know, life, a healthy age. So I keep coming back to what point, and we haven't even really, I guess, mentioned what tongue and lip ties exactly are. So maybe we should define those at the end of the show here. How do you decide which need released? William had a stage 4. So obviously his was bad and his tongue needed released. But can you maybe, let's go there, define tongue and lip ties. And then the question is, does everyone need them released? Because the other question I keep coming back to is, would myofascial therapy help a lot of those in the absence of the release? So can you, that's a long, big, twisty question. Can you answer that?
Yeah. So it comes back to those goals. So sometimes you will look and there's severities, right? So there's different ranges, and there's sometimes you will look and that severity is so bad. Like the range of motion is so bad. There's no amount of stretching that's going to stretch them into good normal range of motion and function.
Sure.
But ideally, it all comes down to, can you do those goals? Can you breathe through your nose day and night? Can your tongue fully rest in your palate, not just the tip, but can the back of the tongue get up there? And then the key is stay there. When you relax at night and those muscles are not flexed, you know, does it stay there? Can you keep your lips together, keep your tongue in the roof of your mouth, and breathe through your nose? And sometimes we, even as therapists, are like, is, you know, how does that look? The muscle tone is, you can tell somebody is weak and uncoordinated and there's a lot of compensation. You start with therapy and then you reassess later. When those goals cannot be achieved, that's when we start saying, okay, is this frenum? Everybody has a frenum. Not everybody has a restrictive frenum. So we all have frenums. You have an upper lip frenum, you have a lower lip frenum, you can have buccal frenums, and you have a frenum under your tongue. They're there for stability's sake. Okay. So they are a normal part of anatomy. They can be restricted to the point that now we're impinging on function and range of motion, what we want to do. And ideally, that's what we want. And so we start with the therapy, we reassess that range of motion if we think something is not functioning the way we want to, because it can't stay there, because it can't do that, because you think of an elastic band kind of pulling, And so it can't easily do it, and it can't do that. Then we start talking about releases. And like I said, then it's real important to find a good provider that does a lot of them, and they feel confident too, that, like I said, we can do this procedure and we can improve the range of motion by doing a procedure, not just do a procedure.
Right.
And then you can get better function out of it.
Good thorough answer. Okay. A wide and complex variety of B vitamins are essential for the body to convert food into cellular energy. Unfortunately, we don't get as many as we need from our diets. Additionally, certain medications like metformin and birth control drugs can hinder our body's ability to get B vitamins from our diets. When this happens, we can become vitamin B deficient. This can be problematic as our bodies use these vitamins for a variety of biological processes. One of the key roles of B vitamins is to serve as prime cofactors for the Krebs cycle, the biochemical pathway responsible for maintaining energy production. When this suffers, we don't quite make the same energy we once had. Low B vitamins can lead to feelings of fatigue, weakness, low mood, headaches, and even PMS. Supplementing with B vitamins is a very easy way to introduce these essential vitamins back into our systems. But you want to avoid synthetic B vitamins like cyanocobalamin and folic acid that many bodies can't convert to the active forms and instead opt for methyl or hydroxycobalamin options for B12 and methylfolate for B9. These are easier for your body to absorb and use, especially if you have MTHFR variants. We carry capsule and sublingual B vitamins named Methyl B Complex and Sublingual Methyl Bs on our website. Use code B Vitamins for 10% off at yourlongevityblueprint.com. Well, my last question is, what ages can benefit most from this therapy? But it kind of sounds like potentially everyone could. It kind of depends on where they're at.
Yep. My youngest patient, 6 days old, and my oldest patient right now currently was 73. So it really
quite
does
the range.
It really does come down to the therapy first, that function part of it, and then the release is a tool that gets you to those goals.
Sure. We covered a lot. Is there anything else that you do on a daily, weekly, monthly basis that we didn't really get to talk about that you want to share? Anything else to emphasize?
I don't know. I have one patient, every time I give her exercises, she's like, "You have the weirdest job." I said, "Yep, I have the weirdest job."
Well, so for instance, you have William do cheek puffs, you know,
Then,
you know, tongue in cheek, and you know, all these just different exercises that are kind of funny, but yeah.
Yep, exactly. Yep. So every time I give her, she's like, "You have the weirdest job." I'm like, "I very well might have the weirdest job."
Do you also, like when you're on a plane, are you that person that's like looking at, again, oral posture,
you
or you can't help not see.
You can't help. No, you do. Once you know, and like I said, you sometimes I see you just like, I know that little one doesn't sleep good. Like that, or that person, like, oh yeah,
I just want to help them. I slip
help you sleep a little bit better.
Yep. Yeah. Tell us again, I kind of opened the show saying you had this dental practice with your husband, but tell us kind of the name of that, where that is, your website. Also, myofascial therapy business. So tell us where listeners can find you, kind of websites, social media, all that jazz.
All that stuff. Yeah. So Anderson Dental is my husband's practice in Davenport. So I always say when you're looking for an airway-focused dentist, think structure, right? Because they're going to be looking at, you know, the tongue and the jaws, so the hard structures and things. My business is MyoMatters, so myofunctional therapy. We do most of our therapy online. Our pre-crawling kiddos can be seen by my daughter at the dental practice. So MyoMatters is our website. You can schedule free consultations right there from the website, Instagram and Facebook. But we post a lot of information. Back to like educational pieces, as a dental hygienist, that's what we did anyway. So I do feel like it's important to like educate and get the word out there. And I feel like social media, that's the good part of that does. So there's a lot of education out there on our Instagram. Yeah. So we always do free consultations. So if you are looking to just find out more information on if you or your loved one to do, we always do free consultations. But if someone mentions that they heard our podcast, we would do the evaluation for $99. So that's an hour and a half full evaluation then for $99.
Awesome. Good deal. Okay. Thank you. I didn't pre-warn you, but I ask all my guests their top longevity tips. So as we wrap up the show, have you had to pick one thing? And you can re-emphasize what we've already talked about this entire show if you want. But what's your top longevity tip?
Breathe through your nose.
Not your mouth.
Not your mouth, for real.
So can you, I know this is like the $1 million question, but okay, so true, I get that. Are there any quick tips for listeners?
To breathe through their mouth,
yep.
Just checking in consistently to see where your breathing is coming from. And that nasal hygiene, if those two things get you thinking about your nasal breathing, that in itself will make a huge difference.
Love it. Yay. Well, this is an interesting show. Thank you for coming
on. This is fun.
And just sharing with my listeners the importance of oral posture and myofascial therapy. And thank you for helping my son and just raising awareness on this topic. It was good. Oh, different pleasure. Topic, but very important. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
I'm thankful she brought awareness to such an important topic today. Snoring isn't normal and it isn't healthy. Having that sleep-disordered breathing isn't good for adults or for children. It can lead to low oxygen status, which obviously isn't good. I'm very pleased we had William's releases taken care of and that Paula was able to help him maintain success along the way. To learn more about today's topic, read James Nestor's book, Breath, and connect with Paula at myomatters.com. Be sure to check out my book, Your Longevity Blueprint. And if you aren't much of a reader, you're in luck. You can now take my course online where I walk you through each chapter in the book. Plus, for a limited time, the course is 50% off. Check this offer out at yourlongevityblueprint.com and click the course tab. One of the biggest things you can do to support the show and help us reach more listeners is to subscribe to the show. Leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. I do read all the reviews and would truly love to hear your suggestions for show topics, guests, and for how you're applying what you've learned on the show to create your own longevity blueprint. This podcast is produced by Team Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, wellness is waiting. The information provided in this podcast is educational. No information provided should be considered to be or used as a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult with your personal medical authority.